Sanctuary. Is that your desire? If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Proverbs 9, 1 Samuel 2. Proverbs 9, 1 Samuel 2. Now, I said that we'd be speaking for quite a while about respect, and Brother Aaron mentioned it to me, that maybe some of you might not have the book Respect. So if you want a copy of that book, make sure after the service or something today that you get with Aaron and let him know about it, where we can order some, you know, because he generally does that and just sends in an order to where we can be able to, you know, follow along. And I want everybody to have that. So if you don't have the book, the title of it is Respect, preached in 1961. So if you don't have, let Brother Aaron know and we can order some and get everything, you know, fixed where we can have some of these, the messages and all. And I also remember this coming weekend that we would be going to, and a lot of the people will be there staying for the weekend up at Brother Longoria's for the youth banquet and a fellowship meeting there, our time youth camp. So now make sure you let everybody know about going and who's going Thursday and then who's going Friday, where that we can know and, you know, be able to make sure everything's working good and all like that. Now, if you're going Thursday, see, we're going to have to stay in a motel up there and all, and so there won't be any eats at the camp on Friday for the lunch. So we're going to have to take care of our own doing. So what they said we'd do is just, you know, buy barbecue or something like that and just take it and have everybody to eat together, maybe on the ones in the motel and all that's over Friday, you know, for lunch, but staying there because they won't have anything to eat there at the camp. So if you do, make sure you talk to Waiter June 1, and I think they said we'd just put like $4 a piece into a pot for adults, and that way we'd have enough, could buy enough for all of us to eat and have a good time together, you know, on Friday, you know, before we're going over to the thing, because we'd be right there not too far from it, you know. But still, we've got to do our own, like we'll be at the motel maybe for the breakfast, but then we got to do our own thing for lunch on Friday. So just remember that and contact Wade and them about it to where everything will be okay. All right? Proverbs 9 and 1 Samuel 2. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, and we thank you for the day and the hour that we have upon the earth, and we ask you, Father, that you would just come on the scene now this afternoon and speak to our hearts from thy word, that we may, Lord, hear and believe and see and understand, because we love you, Father, and we want to walk in you. And just keep us, Lord, by thy grace, and let your light shine in each one of our hearts, that, Lord, thy word would have the preeminence, because that's the main thing that we desire. And guide us now as we talk about your word. You come and speak to us, Lord, about the word that you have given into our hands in the last days, which to finish all things off, and to be what you want us to be. Guide us now and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs, now this is the one we quoted this morning, but we just want to read it. Proverbs 9, verse 9 and 10. I almost decided to preach a message this afternoon off of it, but, you know, on Proverbs 9, maybe get back to it one of these days. But it's talking about wisdom. You know, it talks a lot about a woman and her way she's doing it all, but really it's talking about wisdom and things, you know. So just read that sometime and you get a chance. But it says, verse 9, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now let's go to Samuel, 1 Samuel 2, and just read verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing. Now, the reason I was reading that part is that he says, you know, that I'd say it about the house, you know. But he says now, in other words, putting it in more into plain language of our form of language to understand that verse, he says, and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But I realize it's not going to do it. You know, that's what he's saying, really. I mean, you just break it down. I realize it's not, that's not do it, so I'm not going to say it. So what am I going to say? I'm going to say, those that honor me, well, I honor them. Because he knew and realized that it would be not a whole church thing. You know, Israel would go away itself, but those of the chosen ones would come and serve him, so, you know, and trust him and understand. And he says, so those I, you know, I honor, those that will honor me, I'll honor them. Well, that's the thing that we want to talk about this afternoon is that, because the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we were talking about this morning. And in doing that, then, this not to fear God, that's a godly fear. You're not to be afraid of God. See, people have taught us, you know, well, you ought to fear the Lord and all this. No, no. It ought to be automatic. See, it ought to be automatic that we have the respect and the humanly fear of not serving God. And the prophet said, and I didn't bring those out, but he's talking about, he said, I fear my wife, I fear my church. See? But he said, it's because that I might not live before them correctly. He wasn't afraid. And don't be afraid of God. Don't teach your children to be afraid of God. Don't teach them a dotty old granddaddy. They can go live like the devil and get by with it now. But don't teach them a fear. Don't try to scare them with God, you know. Because that's what people have done. They've told us, you know, oh, you know, you do that. God is mad at you. God is upset with you, you know. And the poor little kid sitting there, you know, and they're thinking about it. And I'm one of those bigger kids that can't help but think, I guess. But, you know, people will say, oh, the Lord is, you know, you so-and-so's done a lot wrong because look at everything happening to them. Well, what about them that things are not happening to them? You know, what about somebody like Job that nothing wasn't happening to him? You know, nothing wrong. You know, he wasn't doing wrong. He was living right. Well, see, it doesn't fit all together, but the gospel will fit together. Amen. It is the fact that sometimes God does put things upon us, but it's always put on there to try to bring us to himself. It's never put on there to drive us away. It's put to try to draw us to himself. Like I said this morning, how would we know him as a, you know, as a healer? If he didn't let us be sick. See, we could say, oh, God's a healer, but I've never experienced that. See, well, then there's something wrong with you, see, because you don't really know what that is. But now, do you understand what I was trying to bring out? See, it's not to be afraid of God. There's a lot of difference in the word afraid or scared, you know, and fear. Right. I told you I had high respect for my mother. I didn't, but I wasn't afraid of her. I knew she would be there at my side anytime I needed her. But I had a high respect that I didn't want that to do. I remember somebody told one time that I was drinking, you know, up in Gillsville there and laying out on the street up there drunk, which I was laying down on the street because it done got kind of silly to me because some boys came up there and they wanted to fight and nobody didn't want to fight. So, you know, it got kind of silly to me. So I laid down on the side of the road and just laughing at them, you know, and said, you know, y'all come up here and want to fight and then nobody don't want to fight. And So they went back and told that I was laying out on the street drunk. Well, I just went to see them. You know, I called three of them out, and I said, some one of y'all's done told that I was, because you was up there, that I was out there drinking. And they said, well, we know who it is. We ain't going to tell you. And I said, well, you go tell everyone who it is. Come on down, because I'm here wanting to get this settled. But I said, the reason is, I said, it wouldn't matter to me. But I said, my mother's got confidence in me, and she knows that I don't drink. And I said, you go destroy that confidence. You go destroy that part. It was for her, not for me. Because I didn't give a hoot what they thought about me. Back then, as a sinner, you didn't care. You know, because that made you the cool guy, you know, was to be a drunk or something. But I was upset because it was going to get back to my mother that I was drinking. I didn't want that done because that would hurt her. And I had that much respect. Well, if I could do that for her, how much more should I be in respect for God to not be afraid of him? You know, not to have fear of him, not to be scared of him, but to have a godly fear and a reverence and a respect for him to where to think about. Now, remember what I said, the definition of respect was to have admiration and things for like a person. You know, respect is a word there that it's like saying that I admire you for your worth. I admire you for what you are. It's not admiring a person for their beauty or sense of that, but yet it is still, if they're beautiful, it's fine to admire because of the beauty, but not a lustful form, but to be respectful and to, you know, for something that's there. As I said this morning, God that created us, God that brought us into the world, God that made you and I, and God that gave us his word, and God come down to die and die for our sins that we may have life, and all that, and then we would, you know, we wouldn't want to love him and respect him and honor him and serve him. Because we read there, see, God will honor those who honor him. You know, all right. See, if we honor God, God will honor us. All right. And if you want something to be done that way, then honor God, serve him out of love. Not out of have to, not out of a case of, see, salvation is not based on how good you are. Salvation is based upon the fact of you believing Jesus Christ took your place. And that should bring a great respect to realize that God would come down to die for you and me. He could have just left us and at the end of all things said, okay, now you're judged. And been right and just about doing it. But yet he didn't. He come down to pay the price for us to where you and I can then have a high respect. Like I said to your children, do you do what your parents says out of fear? Or do you do it out of love? There's a whole lot of difference in it. There's a lot of difference in doing it. You can be happy in working. You know what? I mean, I'd like to just say a few words, you know, to get the point across. We're to respect those that have authority over us. We're to honor those who have authority over us. You know, we have bosses and all like that. Like in the Bible, they'd say, honor the king, you know, honor the one that ruled this, that, or the other. Well, we might not be in a country to have a king, but, you know, I honor the President of the United States. I might not agree with him upon everything that he'd say, but he, you know, he's doing as good as anybody could do under the situation that we're in, you know. And I give honor to the king. It's like you brothers that was in the service. When you saluted, you didn't salute the man, did you? You hated his guts. Brother Harris had to salute that man that stuck his nose in the dirt and pushed it around and said, I hope you die in Vietnam. But he had to salute it. But he didn't salute the man. You know, I'm sure they probably called y'all a lot of dirty names and all kind of things and spit in your face. And I know that Brother Harris told him about that man just spitting in his face, you know. But see, when they saluted the stripe. That's the thing I'm wanting you to get, is the authority. And that's what God is the authority. It's something that's worthy to have that respect laid upon it. In other words, irregardless of how that man has got his ranks in the service, He's still got a rank of a captain or a colonel or something like that, or a general, by being a soldier that went through a lot of things. Right? Now, we know they was bad and all like that, but I'm just trying to get you to see the point. See, to respect those of the world. You work for a living. Now, I've seen guys down there at General Motors. They finally got word that they would, later years, they would send people word at home that they're going to be laid off, because that's the way of doing things now, you know, for everybody. You know why? Because I've seen them there at General Motors that would go down the line and just take a knife or a scratch-all or something and just walk right down the line, just ripping the paint on those cars. Now, just because it's getting laid off. You know, just do things deliberately wrong and just laugh about it. Well, I wouldn't do it. Steal everything they could get. Well, they did. They stole everything in the world. An old guy used to call up, take spark plugs out of the cars, put them in his pocket, roll them up and tape them together where they look like some kind of cigarettes or something in his pocket, and steal just spark plugs and stuff like that. Well, I was all over the whole plant and what I was working in, especially long in about the middle of my time there, and I'd come home with stuff in my pockets, and the next day I'd take it all back. I didn't want what they had. I had wrenches. I had everything in the book. I could have brought out anything from where I was, you know, and I wouldn't do it. See, because that, if I figured like this, and I've always believed it this way. You steal a dime from a millionaire, it's the same as stealing a dime from a pauper. You say, oh, no, it's not. See, that's where your mind is perverted. You steal a dime from a millionaire, you stole a dime. You steal a dime from a pauper, you stole a dime. That's where our mind has been perverted, especially into the younger generation now, is to try to get everything we can get for nothing. Now, I never did believe in that. I stayed in the union there at Dorval for many years, but they never protected my job. And then I finally got out of it, and I didn't have to worry about a job. God took care of my job. They done everything in the world. I've told you about it. The company and the union both plotted to fire me, and they couldn't do it. It's because I done my job. They couldn't get nothing on me about my job, because I went to work. I done my job. Brother Dean and them, tell them about it. They seen me where my back would be totally out and just twisted and still carrying stuff and doing my job that I didn't have to do. I could have went and sat down and told them I ain't going to do it. See, I believe in being honorable and right and things like that. I don't believe in stealing and stuff, you know, or try to get anything for nothing. Because we ought to respect the people around us. Especially Christian people ought to do that. You know, you can understand the world of just stealing, but still I don't understand them, because when I was in the world, I didn't steal. You know. I just didn't do it because it was not a part of me to do. I wasn't trained in my life to steal and take something for nothing. I've always wanted to pay my own way and go and do. Because of that, if I could be that in the natural, how much more should I be in the spiritual? You know. See, people are watching every move you make. People at work are watching you every move, every turn you make. You claim to be a Christian, they're watching you. You go pull shady deals and stuff like that with them, they know you're not a Christian. I went to work when I was so sick till I couldn't even hardly work. But I went in and done my job. Because that was one thing. I respected them. Because I believe a Christian ought to be respectable to anybody. They ought not to... You ought not to have to worry about it. You ought to do your job. If you're cleaning a house, clean it. If you're building a house, build it. I couldn't stand it when I was in carpenter work with some of them that didn't do too good of a job of doing. I like to do my job. And everybody lies about how I like to put everything together so well, so nobody wants to try to take it apart. Because I do my job. I want to do a good job. If I was a mechanic, I'd want to do a good job. If I was a doctor, I'd want to be precise about everything. Why? Because that honor and respect goes with the position that I'm in. And that's the way we ought to be. But how much more should we be towards God and what He is to us? To love you and me and to give us what He has given us? this is not something, well, now you owe it to me. No. That's what I can't understand about the world. But that's the way people have come. They've got to where it's everything is give me, give me, give me, until they don't care about anything else. It's developed into a way that they're not honorable in trying to be Christians, even though they claim to be. The biggest disgrace could be was me to make a disgrace of the message that I'm trying to preach. The message of the hour that we're in, and what the prophet has said about all these things, it would be such a disgrace for me to go against that. At least I should be like Billy Paul said that time, when he said, ain't you William Branham's son or something? He was in that gambling and playing poker. He said, no, William Branham's son don't do things like this. At least he was honorable in that much. So you honor that. See, you'd say, well, how was that? That was honorable. Because everybody there knew who he was. But he was claiming that my daddy don't live like this. But be honorable and God will honor you. Be respectable. Respect for the people of God. We'll get to that maybe the next message more. But just be respectful for the people of God and watch God honor you. We'd be down hunting years ago on the hunting land and everything. And Wade would be there, and he was still out in the world. Well, Brother Dean, Brother Collie, there's a black man coming in hunting with you and all like that. And some people are kind of skittish of that anyway, and stuff like that. But instead of being that away, Wade would go right out and, hey, Brother Collie, and he'd hug him and just talk to him. Well, see, God honors that. You try to be honorable in yourself and watch God honor you. He'll give you respect if you respect him and walk in what he's want, what he wants you to do. Even if I'm not going to be a Christian, let me try to live correctly. I want my family to have an opportunity. I want my grandchildren, and if time lies it, I want the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren to come along, to have an opportunity to hear the gospel. But to hear it correctly. See, not to hear that God is a mean God and a dirty God. He'll kill you for doing what you're doing. No, speak to people in love. Love will turn away a multitude of sin. But I've never heard where anger did. I've never heard word threatening or anything like that would ever do away with sin. We're not talking about this being footloose and fancy free and just, we're Christians. We do it. No. Don't be garbage can with me. See, because if you don't respect God in the correct way, there's no way. Respect shows that there's something greater than you are. In other words, your thoughts are based on, that's what I was trying to get to this morning, to see him as something a whole lot greater than you are, more superior than you are, and you have a respect for that. And see, if you'll have a respect for that, then it's what we read there. He'll honor you. It's not to honor a church. God doesn't come down here and heal people and do like things here in Lula to honor a church. It's the people in the church. Because the church is nothing without God. And if you and I give him respect through believing his word, then he'll give us respect back by revealing his word. But to see him, now get this and then we'll move, to see him as the greatest of all, of everything you could ever think of in your life. And as the prophet said this morning, don't make no mistakes. And to do all of that and then respect him, and say, thank you. Let me give respect to him, irregardless, and not to do it as to try to get something in return. That's what a lot of people want to do. They want to serve God to get out of going to hell. No, that's not what serving God. That's not no respect for God. That's a fear from some creator that's made you that he can play with you and just dangle you off and throw you away. But to serve him with love and respect. And as you serve him, and I'll get to it later, but see, you can only serve God as you serve one another. That's all I'm going to say because that'll be the next message, but, you know, the Lord willing. But what I want to talk about this is if we serve God, you know, respect God, we're going to respect the house of God. All right? So that's the title for this now, Respect for God's House. You know, because that's what I want to talk about for a little while. Respect God's house. Now, in the children of Israel, we use them because, like I said this morning, every religious belief has the same thing anyway, that you're trying to appease an angry God. Now, are you listening? Every belief that there is in the world is in some way you're trying to appease an angry God. You're wanting a happy hunting ground, a place to go to, see? But you believe that God is angry with you. See? And you're trying in some way to appease Him, see? To satisfy Him, to where that He'll give you something. But see, the children of Israel knew enough to know that there was one place that God met them. Now, we know what the prophet said, and I know, come on later, but now just keep it back there with me in the Old Testament. They had one place to meet God. Where was that? The temple. The house of God. That was where they was to meet God at. That was where they went to. Now, I know later where Jesus come, but he turned out to be the house of God, too. So just remember, we're still keeping the story right. There's only one place that God will meet us, and that's in Jesus Christ. And who is he? He's the house of Almighty God. Because he said, a body thou hast prepared me. All right, so now just keep the story right and listen to what I'm talking about. See, then the people of Israel, when they would camp in protection around the Levites was in the middle in the original part, and then every one of the rest of them camped around there to protect that. And everybody would have given their life. Now listen to what I'm talking about. Here's a God that can come down and do anything, right? But yet every Israelite would have given their life to protect that temple. They would have fought to the last man to protect the temple. Why? Because they believed that's where God dwelt. And that was where he met them out. That was where they made their offerings at. That was where they done their worship at. David said, let us go up into the house of the Lord. It was something of an opportunity to go to the worship. Everything was done in worship of God. I got it wrote in my Bible somewhere in the Psalms where that as they walked up those steps, that Israeli guide told me about it. And as they did, it's in Psalms, where there were certain psalms that they sang as they went up those steps. Each step they would sing a song, you know, because everything was in preparation for worship of God. But it wasn't just, come on, let's go, let's go. Yep, we're going to run up these steps today. Ah, forget them songs. No, forget all that. We're just going to run up there and worship. No, that wouldn't work. They were told what to do. They had certain rituals to go through, right? We say, oh, but what is that? Well, I just serve him out of faith now. But just remember, all of that was an example of what your faith is that you're claiming. What you're claiming to be faith and to know and to how to serve God, every bit of that was done by somebody to where you could have what you've got. So don't run your big faith off on the other end, you know, that now we live by faith. We still have respect. We still respect the house of God. The prophet said, this is not an arena. I figured you'd surely know that, but that's on Door to the Heart, 1958. Said, this is not an arena. He didn't like having to go to those places. He'd always do as we do. When we went up to Gainesville, to that Civic Center thing, even though, you know, they're what you call, even though it, you know, I mean, it was used for religious purposes a lot. But before we started that, we stopped and had a dedication of that building before we would have our services. And then we told them there, you know, because, I mean, you go in there, you know, to a singing or whatever you're going to, and they have bull rides, they have motorcycle rides, all in one same building there. See, Brother Randall said, then spirits hang around there. So I said, we're going to dedicate this building for the next couple of two or three days. But then I put deacons at the door. Don't let nobody act here any different than they do at church. Don't have no laughing, talking, cutting up. Because we've dedicated this to the house, this to be the house of the Lord. This is not an arena. This is the house of the Lord for the few days that we're using it. You know, don't let everybody just go in and haphazardly holler and scream. You know what I'm talking about. You've been to churches where that you couldn't even hear your own self talk. My wife punched me one night and claimed to be in this message, but the people would holler and each, hey, Sudie, you went to town the other day? Yeah. All across the church, just hollering. She said, what are we doing in here? I said, keeping our promise. Because we promised the brother we'd come to see him, and just keeping my promise. But see, church, they done everything back there. Go back there and read all of that. Study about all the things that was done. That's not boredom reading, if you'll read it in the correct order, to realize that what they were doing is what we're supposed to be doing right here today. They went through all of that in preparation for worship. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But how many come in today and sat down prayerfully, read your Bible, or prayed a little bit before the service started? Or did you come in when the service started or after it started? You know? No, but now, brother, we was having a discussion about the Lord. No, not when service starts. You know, that's why I have to be straight. I don't play around with what I say. You say, but we were talking about the Lord. No, you come in here because the time for the Lord is here. When it's time to come to church. Because the next thing you'll do is miss church and stay outside and talk about it. Next thing you'll do is you'll stay at home and talk about the Lord. But it's respect for God's house. This building here is nothing more than any other building in the world. But it's been dedicated for one thing. It's been set aside for one purpose, and that's worship. That's why the prophet said nothing in here is to be done outside of worship. We don't sail in here. We don't do these. We don't just play around. If I'm up here working, outside I'm doing something, and I come in church, I take my hat off and lay it down back there. I won't come in here wearing my hat. Because I just, you know, the prophet said this is a place not to be eating and drinking and things. You don't see me even bringing something to drink into my own office back there. I just don't do it. I ain't talking about water coming up on the platform now for some that need it. I'm talking about bringing coffee or this, that, or the other into the study and sit down with it. I don't do it. Why? Because I want to be respectable. The prophet said, this a child running through the building would hinder the next service. Now, he didn't say how long that service was. Well, what, Brother Dale, now he was, well, you go ahead and interpret all you want to. He didn't say how long it was between services. He said the Holy Spirit is very timid. And you go running through the building, let the kids run through the building, laughing and talking. No wonder God don't meet people. No wonder he doesn't come in here. Because, see, we set this aside for the purpose of, of a worship time. We set it aside as a place to come and to believe that God will meet us here and speak to us. And see, you come in and somebody's laughing and cutting up and doing it. How can you get a prayerful attitude? How can you be ready for the Word to come? See, everything is made for that purpose. Everything is geared to the time to fellowship through worship and singing and giving your money and doing your thing. But then it's geared up to where that it comes to the Word is going to come forth. That we believe God is going to come and speak to it. Because we don't, why don't we just go home? I mean, if you don't believe God's going to speak to you, why'd you come today for? Well, I come because if I didn't, you'd make fun. That's what I'm saying. You're living by a book of rules. How many of you ever heard me say across the pulpit that the reason that when you didn't come to church, that you didn't believe? You know what I'm saying? You ever heard me say that, well, Brother Dick, now he don't believe. That's the reason. Or so-and-so left us because he don't believe. You never heard me say it across the pulpit. Why? Because this is no place to joke or play about it. We might be humans outside talking, but when it comes into here, it's set for one thing. Everything is geared for the Word. Making ready, preparing the heart. That's why we don't eat in here. We don't play in here. We don't do things like that. We try to serve God and worship Him inside. We have a lot of little children, and that's wonderful. I want them to be in here. I want them to be in here in the service and, you know, and all like that. I don't want it to be just something that they're scared. I want the little children to come and to sit down, and, you know, and to feel like that they're not having to be under fear, but yet to be respectable. To respect the house of God. To honor it. But see, like I said, and you know, I hope the sister don't mind me talking about her a lot of times, but the sister over here, she came up here and she didn't know, and she wore her slacks to church. Well, she didn't know. But one time speaking to her, she, now everything's great. And she ain't never said she's mad at us yet. She wanted to know what it was to do. But you get on to people that's been here for 20 years, and they get mad at you. You know, well, I'm telling you, there's something wrong with you. You know, see, because we ought to have more respect for the house of God. You know, for to be here. You know, Brother Stephen Wilson and them, Brother Richard and them, for 2 years came here, and every Saturday night they spent the night in this church, slept in the altar. But Brother Richard told him, he said, "Now listen. You respect that just like you do when the service is here. You don't do anything here on Saturday night no more than what you do on Sunday." Why? Respect. Honor. Why? Because you're wanting to make sure that God will come and meet with us. If one person, Brother Brown said, can hinder a person from being healed, how about one person's reaction or whatever in the church? If a child running through the building, you know, would be to the basis that God would, His presence would leave there for a while, how much more should respect should we have? To where that we try to do everything. I do this. And I know a lot of you, I've heard you even make remarks about it. I don't like it, so I'll just tell you up front like this. I went right over to that church this afternoon. I went right across the road there to the church this afternoon. If they got to laughing and talking and trying to talk to me, I get up and I tell them, I don't talk. Let's go outside. I don't talk in here. I go to a Baptist church. If I went to a Catholic church, if I went to anywhere, I've been to mosque. Been inside of mosque and sat down, pulled my shoes off because they said that was what was required. I took my shoes off, walked in there, and was highly respectable to what they were doing. Never made no light of it. I'll get onto that later in the message. Never made no fun of what they were doing. Never made no light of their beliefs or their singing or their worship. If I go to a Baptist church tonight, I'd sit down and I'd be real quiet. I wouldn't be up just laughing and talking, running all over. Because if they try to talk to someone. If you're real quiet, don't worry about that. They ain't going to get you in a conversation. But see, we can, you can hinder the next services coming just by any kind of a conversation inside of the church. We come here expecting to hear from God. Well, you know, God has ways just like He did in the Old Testament. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. They had a way to come into that. They had things to sing. They had ways to dress. They had ways of doing to believe that God would meet them. But it was the mixed multitude that always got them in trouble. Well, we may have mixed multitudes then. See, I want God to come here and to be with each one of us. This is serious to me. This is not a plaything of just going to church and just being good and all like that. This is the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To me, is to try to be a Christian and live like one and talk like one and worship, you know, and have a good time. You don't see me any different from here than you do outside the building. Now, you've been around me long enough to know, and you don't see anything different here or outside the building than you see from me down in the woods when I'm hunting, and we've hunted with all kind of people in the world. But you don't have to be no different. We're going in October down there where there'll be doctors, lawyers, whatever, you know. They'll be drinking around us. What, that don't bother me. After just a little while, they turn around and start respecting you. And they'll say, Wade or Sam, how about asking a blessing tonight? And there you are sanctifying food and then wine sitting all over the place. But they still do it. Why? Because they learn. But now if we went in there living like the devil and acting like them, you think they'd be respectable to that? You think they would say things like that? No. It's because they see what you are. You're not deceiving nobody but your own self. Now let me just put that plain. You're not deceiving nobody but your own self. And what is that? You can deceive half of the people half of the time and whatever what it goes, all that long story. But now you can't deceive, you ain't deceiving nobody but your own self. People know what you are. At work, at home, and they know what you are. Why? Because of what you act like. But see, here at the house of the Lord, we could be respectable. Sure, now at home, you let your kids play. That's right, because they're there. That's their home. But when you come to church, you know, what do you want them to do? Now, little bitty ones, little babies. Come on, Brother Dale understands. Little babies whimpering and crying. They don't bother me like adults sitting there drawn up like a bunch of prunes because they claim they can't hear because the baby's crying. Well, move. Get up and move to where you can. You know. But see, instead, you just pout it up. That hurts me worse than any kid crying. But see, be respectable. Let them, when they come in, you mothers, teach your children. You know, if you need some examples, we've got a few in the building. Like Brother Gary used to talk about Brother and Sister Orr, you know, and raise their kids, and they raise real respectable kids in the house of the Lord. Now, they might be a lot of other things, but it's because they had a little hickory stuck back there. Sister Monica's got a, I don't know why she picked that, but she's got a wooden spoon. I guess that was the first thing she wrapped. I don't think she ever did have to wrap Zach with it, because I don't think she had no problem with him, but Esther's a little bit different. She needed more attention than that line, and she just shows her the spoon because she stuck her out a few times and used that spoon. But see, what do? They sit down. I have no trouble with little kids, you know, as little as Esther and Olivia and them, drawing and You know, doing a little playing, a little bitty simple thing. You don't have no trouble with that. You know, because that's understandable. It's hard to get a kid to sit for, you know, 2 hours, you know, without doing anything. It's hard to do that. But it is kind of funny that you can look over at some families and theirs are sitting there. They might be afraid of mom and daddy. That might be the point. But they're sitting there, sitting up straight, you know, because they know. They know that if they react different, they're going to be different. Well, see, that's respect in the house of the Lord. Everybody, you understand what I'm saying? It's not just the pastor. It's not the song leader to try to get us in the spirit. Brother Brown said, you come to the church in the spirit. He said, don't expect somebody to sing you into it. I'm paraphrasing my words. Don't expect Brother Dick to get up here and the musicians to get you in the spirit, you know. Well, I'd been in the spirit today if they'd have sung another five song. No, it's not being in the spirit. But church, listen. The place is set aside for that. So the respect we give for it. Now let me ask you just a plain personal question, because this is the way I deal. How would you like to for me to come to your house and you know, just take my muddy old shoes and lay them up on the couch, and, you know? Or just take me something. You got some papers there, and I just reach on, just rip them up, you know? You got some books laying around, and I just tear them up. You know, how would you like that? How would you like it for me to react like that in your home? I'm sure it wouldn't be long till you'd probably be asking me to leave, because I wouldn't be respecting your home. Because that's what we should have. When my kids went to somebody else's house, Bud, they knowed one thing. They were allowed to do only what the people that lived in that home would let them do. If not, they sat there glued. Because if he didn't, Papa would come unglued. Especially Nanny, she'd reach over and get them and pinch the far out of them. And if they reacted by making an inch, she pinched them again. And first thing you know, they wind up minding. You say, well, that's a little different from this morning you're talking about. No, it's not different, because there is things. God has to correct you and I sometimes. We're human beings. We need correction. We need training. We need guidance. We need somebody to tell us and to keep us lined up, because we're just natural human beings. And you know what the natural human being is? Least line of resistance. You know, the problems. But see, I treat this here church better than I treat my home, is my point. Now, what do you think? I wouldn't come up here and act any different than I act at home. I'm not going to come up here and we used to have a lot of trouble with it till we started saying some things, but people just allow their kids to take songbooks and rip them up and just paper all over the place and just everything until, you know, it's a mess to have to clean up the place. Well, see, I'm like this. If I'm sitting in that seat, I'm sitting in my office. Ask June how much my office is. I take paper. Now, sometimes I may miss and not do it, but if I drop a piece of paper, it's going in a trash can. If not, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to put it in that trash can. And I'm in there constantly with all kind of, with my cut and paste deal I have to do, you know, to get everything to going where I'm cutting those things and gluing them together. But see, I ain't like this other just throwing down the corner. A certain brother that I know, they stayed in a motel one time, and because the lady wouldn't come and clean the room up one day for them, they just started throwing trash over in the corner. And when they left a few days later, it was just like a great big corner full of trash. Now, that's believers in this message. I don't want to call names, but that was people you know real well that were called believers in this message. And they laughed and told me about it. I just bit my tongue and walked out, because we went out deep sea fishing, 12 miles out. That's international limits. Everything goes overboard. That's the rules. That's why they do with all that stuff. That's why the world's so messed up. Everything goes overboard. They pump everything out of the ships. All of it goes overboard. All of the trash goes overboard. 12-mile limit, I believe, is what it is. And see, they told me, man, we went out, got out so far, they're throwing truck cans, they're throwing this, they're throwing stuff we'd had there. I took mine and put it in the bag. Ain't going to do it. I brought it back. But if I think that much of a natural world, how much more would I think of a house that you've dedicated for the Lord? And come in here with any kind of an attitude or whatever. Hey, I've come here when my attitude wasn't too good. Of course, I know none of you have ever done that. And I know, you're all goody-two-shoes, you know. But I've come here when I had the wrong attitude. And I'd get outside out there and say, Lord, get this thing off of me. Don't let me enter into your house with an attitude that's wrong. It's not that I'm afraid of him. I tried to make that emphasis this morning. But it's because I love him. And we've set this house aside for that purpose. That it shouldn't be just a carrying on and just all kind of thing. We do everything here in respect and honor. That's why we don't talk after the service. Sure, fine. Love you. Thank you. Good message. Or something like that's fine. But don't start a conversation. Go outside to do her talking. But I'm led of the Lord. No, you're not led of the Lord contrary to the rules of God. Do you get the emphasis? Don't tell me you're led of the Lord contrary to the rules of God. Now, I'm as honest as I can say it like this. If that church right over there said you walk out backward, they voted that. You want me to bring Brother Branham's words for a lot of this? Brother Branham said, if the people voted for Brother Neville to preach Jehovah's Witness doctrine, that was the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit. You want those quotes? He didn't say it was right. He didn't say God ordained it to be right to him to do that. He said that's what it was voted. That church over there vote for you to back out of the church. They come tell you, you're supposed to back out. I'd back out. I bless God, I'm turning around. See, now that's what I'm telling you. You're disrespectful of what the sovereignty of that church is, and the sovereignty of that church is the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You say, oh no, the Holy Spirit ain't open there. We're going to get on a message on that. And you're going to see why many are sick among us and many weak and many have gone to sleep. Just making fun of somebody over there. That ain't the Holy Spirit. You can't tell me some things. I'm too old. I done read too much of Brother Ryan's message. Because as we respect one another, that's how God respects us. But you see, church is trying to stay on this one. Would you want me to come and tear up your furniture? No. And if I did, I would expect to pay for it, unless it was some accident or some form, or something happened. But I'm talking about me just deliberately tear something up in your home. I would expect to fix that. Because that's the way it is. But yet, come to church, it don't matter. Just throw the trash down. Just throw it. It don't matter where you hit the waste paper basket or what. Just throw it down. How would you like for me to do that at your home? What would you say? Come on. What would you say if I went in your bathroom and I said, just throw a bunch of garbage down in the floor. How would you like it? You'd get upset, wouldn't you? I probably wouldn't be invited back. But what if that's the way God feels about us because of our actions and reactions just in church? That's why we got a sign back there. Turn your cell phones off. Why? Because you're sitting in here preaching, and about that time, rink, 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 somebody's cell phone goes off. Well, there's a telephone back there. It's got a number on it. 770-869-1883. There's somebody sitting back there that can hear that phone ring. You got any emergency coming in from anywhere, give them that telephone number. But see, you'll say, and I know many of you have done it, I ain't turning off my cell phone. I'm expecting a call. I am too. I'm expecting a call from glory someday. But I don't need no cell phone. Yeah, but I've got an important. Which is more important, eternal life? Why don't you get the tapes of Brother Branham and listen to him? We was listening to one not too long ago, me and my wife was, and we'd heard one tape, and you know, I just happened to randomly pick the tape and was playing it, and that was when his mother was real sick. And I was praying, you know, about it, and he's telling, I appreciate all the things and all like that. The next service, they called and told him that his mother was probably passing. And you'd say to me, Brother Dale, I need to know my mother's passing, my father's passing, my brother, my sister, my kids. Brother Branham stopped for a minute. Did God believe him all? He continued right on preaching. Because he said, I've done all I can do for her. I can't help her anymore. You've done all you can do for your family if you've provided them this, that, or the other, and a telephone number to call us. You don't have to leave your phones on to where you can. But yet you're going to do it anyway. You're going to do it anyway. That's what's the sad part. Now, we'll get into that if you want to, where the Bible says that stubbornness is as witchcraft. You got a stubborn spirit on you, children, adults, whoever you are, teenagers, you got a stubborn spirit on it. That's the same to God as being a witch. We'll get on respect for mom and daddy. Let's keep it on respect for just the house of God, just for the natural. Because I'm not going to do it, church. I'm not going to go somewhere else, even to another church or some kind, and be anything different than I am here in Lula Church. Because I'm going to pay respect. I'm going to try to honor their, you know, the ways that I've raised, not the way they're raised. The old saying is, when Rome, do like the Romans. Well, that's, why don't you go get drunk this afternoon? Because that's what they're going to do. See, don't quote scriptures to me. Because I'll tell you what they're meaning. That doesn't mean, well, that they're going to get drunk this evening, so we'll go get drunk. And Rome, do like the Romans. No. It might be all right for the world, but it ain't for me and you. Anything or everything we do here ought to be for one thing in mind. From the pastor to the deacons to the song leaders to the musicians, for the people that are in the pews or running the tapes or doing anything, what? For one purpose. What can I do for God? What can I do for God in this church? And you know what it might mean? It might mean for you to bring the right attitude in. You know? It might mean for you to bring the right attitude. You know, one person can do a lot of things. You've heard the story told about the great revival that struck in the church, and they wondered where it got started. They kept running it down until they found out the cleaning lady was going around and cleaning the seats and saying, Lord, bless so-and-so sitting here. Bless Brother Ryan sits here. Lord, bless Wade sits here. Bless Brother Collie sits clean. And started a revival in the church. What I said. When I'm up here, I try to be highly respectable. Sure, we talk, we have to do things sometimes because of natural things or something going on, you know, working on something, doing something. That's fine. God understands that. God's not dumb. He understands our ways and what our things are doing. But then he understands when our attitude is the main thing. So So bringing the right attitude to church could mean a lot of things. It does mean for sure one thing. It means whether you're going to get anything or not. You come in with the wrong attitude, you ain't going to get nothing. I don't care what you do. You can hear the greatest sermon in the world. But if you come in with the right attitude, the worst sermon in the world here is a whole lot better than no sermon. I've sat down and been happy about hearing a Trinitarian preach on the Trinity sometimes, you know, or somebody. I've heard them in this message preach worse than Trinities. But I'd find something. And I didn't do like one brother said he done, and laid down in the seats, you know, and just, you know. Or somebody just start laughing. We'll get to those things a little. Laughing about something that somebody says, you know. Mm-mm. It might be the Holy Spirit trying you, and you might be in trouble. Be respectable to the house of the Lord. Some of you come from Catholic ways. Like I said to start with, if I went to the church with you, I would respect everything they're doing. I wouldn't agree with it. I'd just respect it. I'd be quiet and reverent. I wouldn't want to have, well, look at that. Boy, I don't know what that means. Mm-mm. Now, you're the one's got the wrong attitude. And see, God won't respect you at all. But see, just be more careful here about what we're doing, whatever thing is done in the church, the children playing, the things that you do, the bringing in, you know. And little bitty kids, 2 hours in here, little bitty ones, they can't go that long without a bite to eat. You know, that's fine. I've never said nothing about it. But there's one thing to make sure. If I was sitting in a seat, if my child needed something to eat, and I give it something to eat, when I left, that place would be clean. There wouldn't be crumbs all over the place. I'd go get the vacuum cleaner. I'd clean it up. Man, why does it matter? Let the cleaning lady get it. That's the attitude I'm talking about. Cleaning lady is not made for cleaning your garbage. Do you understand? Cleaning lady is not made to clean up your mess. Well, let them get it. Ain't my job. If I see paper, I see something in here, I pick it up. Yeah, I see something wrong, I pick it up. I do something with it. Why? Because this is the house we set aside for God to meet us. Oh, but we don't have to go to church. We'll go home. Nobody got no problems. Go home, do your thing. But if we're going to claim to be a church and have a church, we have rules and regulations and things. We have deacons to take care of things. And if they come and say something to you about something, they've been instructed to be lenient to a degree, to not just jump on somebody, especially when somebody new comes in. Somebody new comes in, they don't understand our ways. Be lenient about it. But then after a while, you just tap and say, brother, sister, you know, I think you need to change this way. And you do it in love, and you'll never see a hurt feeling come out of it. You won't see somebody get mad because that's where it was. Brother Branham cut the trousers off his pants to go before the king. He did. Come on, it's on the tapes. He backed backward because it was a disrespect to the king. That was probably, probably the only one he saw was King George, or what his name was, it George? King George that the Lord healed, that he prayed for. Now, he didn't turn back around and say, I'll see you later, king. I healed you. No, he was very respectable. That was probably the only one he went in the presence of. And they cut the trousers off of his pants. I don't understand what that means, but it did to them. He respected that. And God respected him by healing the king. But what if he'd have walked over, hey, old king, how you doing? I come down here to pray for you. I ain't doing what you saved me to do. No. And God honored his prayer. You see, here in the church, folks, we should have one thing in mind. We should live all of our lives with one thing in mind. I go through the woods, I'm constantly picking up stuff. If I don't carry it out, I'll go pour it in a hole. I'll find me a stump hole. I'll pick up cans and stuff where people throw them out. I'll go find me a stump hole and I'll push them down in it. Cover it up. Just out in the woods. You don't see me rolling down the window and throwing out the trash. The only thing I throw out the windows of a car or a truck or whatever is something that's edible. You know. But I ain't going right down through the middle of Gainesville throwing banana peelings out. I got more respect if I'm out in the woods, I throw it out because the animals will eat it. But see, it's living a Christian life is a whole thing. It covers everything in our lives. You children, don't make light or fun or cut up and do it at school. Don't do it. Respect the teacher for what she is. She's trying to teach you. She's not there just to beat on you. She's there to try to help you learn. Be respectable to them. Honor them for that. Like I said about the sergeant, you salute, you watch the bars. The teacher, you might not like her whatsoever, but whatever she instills into your mind will come out of there as being something that will help you. Be good to those teachers and things. Hey, I know we're kids, okay? That's why I can talk to kids, because I'm one. We're kids and we do things. But don't let it get out of hand, okay? Them teachers sometimes don't mind you putting little jokes on them. Just don't let it get out of hand. Don't let it get real bad. You know, because they're human just like you are. They're human just like you are, and they're good people. There's a lot of good people in this world. I honor all of them. I don't look at something just because it, you know, that they've got authority over me and then I hate that. No. I try to respect a police officer. I don't do it because he's the law that can arrest me. I respect him. Because it's the symbol that he's doing. He's trying his best to help. Somebody's got to do it. But see, church, all of it, the whole thing. We should on Sunday morning, we should get up Saturday night. That's plain language. Saturday night, you ought not stay up past midnight. Oh. And then come to church and sleep. Hey, listen, I'm as honest as I can be. I always tried my best to be honest with you. And I know I've been misunderstood like highly, and I will be again. Do something to stay awake. I put a cough drop in or something like that or do something to stay awake. Now, don't put chewing gum in there and start chewing it. No, that's not good, all right? Kids, adults, whoever, don't put chewing gum in there and start chomping down, you know. But sometimes a piece of candy might keep you awake. You say, yeah, but now, Brother Randall, well, I'm the pastor, all right? See, we're talking about rules in this house. You know, I don't know if Brother Randall's saying that it wouldn't all right to do certain things. Don't chew chewing gums and stuff like that. Don't be eating and all the different things, you know, to do. Do something to stay awake. I've always told you, I never have taken a beanie or what we called them in our days, you know, any kind of a pep pills or anything. But if I had a sleeping problem, I'd do something about it. I'd go to the doctor and I'd get me a prescription drug. And on Saturday night, I'd take that thing to where I could go to sleep. And if I had to on Sunday morning, I'd take something where I could stay awake. Come on, I've tried to be honest with you. Because I ain't preached to you like other preachers have preached. Boy, bless God, I tell you what. And then to see them turn around and snore like crazy. No. I talk honest and straight. You can't accuse me of not being straight with you. I mean, and honest with you from the children up and everything to try to understand. I know what it is to sit in a seat for an hour and a half. I know what it is to come and to do. I know what that is, and I understand that. But our purpose for doing things is to hear from God. It's to get where He can speak to us. But see, you stay out Saturday night all night. You stay out and then you go to sleep. You can't do it. If I had no other night, I'd tell them, well, listen, we're going to bed. We're going to get in bed early enough where we can stay awake tomorrow. But see, the problem is most of you know that on Saturday nights you can stay up a little later, but won't you do it on Sunday night? Oh, I can't. I got to go to work tomorrow. Right, Joe? Joe will tell you. You can stay at his house all you want to. You're welcome to visit. But 8 o'clock, he's going to bed. Why? Because he's going to get up the next day. He don't want to get killed riding a truck and somebody else. But see, church, the respect we have. This place is set aside for that. The due respect for us to honor it. Not to just be a mockery and just to do and life and talk and whatever in here and just cut up and do things. It's to be respectable. And getting up running to the bathrooms and back. I mean, a lot of times I know kids have got to go to the bathroom. I know that. But I know one thing for certain, the way we used to do it, my wife did, to the bathroom before the service. If that little child goes to the bathroom before service, unless there's something wrong, it ain't going to go to the bathroom during service. And especially adults, especially grown people, like one brother used to say, he said, I just can't sit in church for an hour and service hardly. And he said, but I can sit 5 hours and wail. I said, my Lord, man, I couldn't sit 5 hours. I'd be dead. He said, I can sit 5 hours and just wail. You know, he's telling the truth. But you know what it was? Because that's what he enjoyed doing. He was the one that said we had too long of a song service before the service started. So we started having Sunday school where his kids could come to it. And then he said, the services are too long. I had to start the Sunday school. I just said, forget it. But do you understand what I'm trying to say? See, to respect God, He will respect us, as I read there. To honor God, He'll honor us. But it's when you do it out of your heart. What we read from Samuel, right? When you do it from the bottom of your heart, you come to church on Sunday morning, don't come up here saying, well, I tell you what, I don't know what's going to happen. No, come praying. Praying. Lord, speak to me. Speak to my heart today, Lord. I'm coming, I'm putting my time in to serve You. But see, it just comes to the basis that, like then a lot of people, they just stay out. They don't come to church. They'll say, well, I can get the tapes. Well, you can. You can get it on the internet. You can. But if you need to be here, you need to be here. And listen, I've always been lenient about that too, right? I don't schedule extra services because of your long distance. The long distance you have to drive is reason I don't schedule services on Saturdays. I've tried to be nice to you about that because that's the way I am. I know what I believe. Because it's hard to drive for 90 miles up, 90 miles back, and then 90 miles up, 90 miles back, something like that, 2 or 3 days in a row. We try to do everything we can here to schedule something to where it won't tie you up. Because if it was my opinion, we would have Saturday night service and Sunday night service. And probably wouldn't have a Sunday morning church. I like to go to church at night. But that would mean two services of traveling. So my opinion is gone, see? Because it's for you. To where we can have our closed services and go home and be through. It's not to just schedule them. See, that's what all these other preachers do, right? They'll schedule Friday, Saturday, and Sunday right on the road just every once in a while. But I don't do it. Because I know and understand. But see, I respect you. I respect your feelings and your doings. But then when we do schedule something, knowing for a surety that it's just a certain thing, you know, it's not done all the time. But see, respect. Look at the ultimate end of that, that you're doing this. That's what it is, admiration, looking at the ultimate end. I try to look at the ultimate end of God for all things. My thoughts are just like this. If I had $5 million, the first thought would be to build a church. That's just the way I think. First thoughts would be to build a church where we'd be more comfortable. If I had the money, we'd just build one. And we could take the money that we have and do away with our missionary work. We could have as nice a church as anybody in this message has got and pay for it. But instead of that, my desire is not for that. My desire is to try to get the word out and to get an answer back from some of these places to where that you send it, you know, and say, thank you for the word. Well, I was talking to a sister the other day that gets the tapes from here. And she just says, I enjoy hearing the service. That's something. If it's any way to just help in anything. Well, let Lula be one thing, see, because, now get what I'm saying and I'll quit. See, if we honor God, God will honor us. We respect God, God will respect us. And see, that's why he's done what he's doing. It's because of our attitude, our ways, and what we've done to try to get the word out, to get it to these countries, to get places to where that they can't hear maybe the truth. You're a part of it. You're a part of that. When we get over on the other side, that'll be a crown for you. That'll be a star in your crown. But no, brother, there'll be no. Mine's here. You don't understand Scripture. That's where preachers don't understand. They want their kingdom here. No. My Bible says, what did he say about the Levi? You're mine. I'm your inheritance. God is my inheritance. What he's revealed to me through this word is my inheritance. All I've tried to do is just pass that on to you. To let you see what my inheritance. I'm talking about my Father. And what he's speaking to me. Because I got my reward. And you know well enough, all of you know one thing for sure. You may not like me in a lot of ways, but you know one thing for sure. That I've never tried to make anything out of myself. I've tried to make something out of you. I've tried to let the honor and the glory always fall back on you. Because that's my respect. Because I respect God that I see in you. And I'm trying my best to help. And to be a respect, you know, and to help and to do. And that's why we want it here, even a church, to be a place where you can respect God. Come here expecting God to speak to you. And Brother Brown said, he'll put a man on the pulpit to speak to you. I've seen a lot of them been on the pulpits. I didn't agree with hardly nothing they said. But right in the middle of it, God would come down and speak something to me. I said, thank you, Lord. I've got sermons, not because of the bad they were doing, not because of how far they was off, but something they'd say. I remember a man up in Gainesville many, many years ago. He got up where he said, you say Brother Brown's a prophet? Said he just come to make way for the prophets. Well, anybody else that went out there probably all upset and all sports, Norton and everything. Brother Hal was up there, and the man said it. And we went over there to eat, and I wasn't upset with him. We went to eat at the old Blue Bowl, or no, what? Big Bear Cafe, you know. And he was talking about how that there was to be a prophet come and a Gentile bride and all was going to Israel. And I told him, right to his face, I said, no, I don't agree with you. Brother Brown said it'd be two Jews. Didn't agree with him and hardly nothing he said. But when it got through, that rung in my heart. He said he come to make way for the prophets. Because, church, if the seventh church age started with a prophetic ministry on the day of Pentecost with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, do you think that we're not the prophets of God? Come on, children, sisters, whatever. Everybody's got the new birth who I'm talking about. I ain't talking about some preacher that come up with something. I'm talking about you ladies. The prophetic ministry's in you just like it is in everything else, because we're the prophets of the last days, the ones the Word come to. And I believe that. But you see, the reason God has been so good to us is because what we've tried to do. We could have taken the money that we've had and put us in a fine and fancy building. I could have $1 million in the bank easily. No problems. But instead of that, no. Like I tell the kids, there's one thing about it, there ain't going to be much to argue about. We're spending your inheritance. There ain't going to be much left over. See, but church, I'm enjoying it. I enjoy coming to the house of the Lord. I do. There's never been a thing to our family. They've never been, we're going to church. There's never been a question. The kids never come in and say, Daddy, we're going to church tonight? Sunday morning, they didn't get up and us have to go, all right, get up, come on, get your clothes on, we've got to go to church. They know they was going. It was no choice, if you want to call it. It was a fact of what it was going to be. See, if you respect God, God will respect you. Come on, I'm sorry. You get to talking, you just start meddling. And I hope you get the point. I do what I do out of love for Almighty God. Admiration, however you pronounce that word, for Him because of what He is for me. And His church and His people. That's all the goal I've got in my life. Is to try to be a service for Almighty God. Joyce started playing the piano the other day. She wanted to talk to me. She said, I've been burdened. I said, I know it for 2 or 3 weeks. Now she can serve God, and God will help her to do what she wants. And God will make it to where she can play. You watch it. She may not believe that. But you watch it, see. Let's stand together. Go ahead, brother. He's having to change chords for lead singing and change chords. Yes. It's high. Gathered in tonight to worship Him. We have come into His house and gathered tonight to worship. Anybody have a need? We have come into His house and gathered in His name to worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Christ our Lord. That's the purpose of coming to church. To hear from Him and to worship Him. That's what a lot of people think. Worship is all kind of emotional workups and doing. I have nothing against it because I believe in it. But sometimes it's just sitting humbly in His presence of the sweetness and the love and just singing. Melody in our heart is the worship that God desires. Christ the Lord, let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Is that your desire? Let us lift up holy hands and magnify. Anybody else? And worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. Do you believe it? Come into His house and get His name and worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him, Christ the Lord. I like that middle part, don't you? What do? So forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about ourselves. Concentrate on Him and worship. So forget about ourselves and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Christ the Lord. Anybody else as we sing that last verse? Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name. And worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name. And worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands and magnify His name. And worship Christ our Lord. Oh, worship Him. Christ the Lord. Amen and amen. We're glad to have our visitor back there with us. The brother came the other week, but he got here after the service started, so he didn't come up. So we're glad to have Brother Scott with us today, Mason, Scott Mason. We're glad to have him with us this afternoon because he came into being. As we always say, when you come one time, you're a visitor. We welcome you. You come two times, you're just part of us. Don't ever be expect to be welcomed again, you know, because He's just part of us because that's what we believe. And we just appreciate Him because he's a good brother. Brother Homer Longora baptized him here not too long ago in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you pray for him because he's like everybody else that gets started. He's a Catholic. His wife doesn't believe too much. But, you know, God will work that out. And that's like I've told him and I tell everybody. You just live before them what you have in your heart, and they'll get so thirsty till they can't help it. They'll come. They'll be like Sister McGarity, I believe it was. Wasn't it said that time that, anyhow, that she come home talking to Brother McGarity about, you know, the Lord and that, and she said to him, she said, if that's the Lord, I don't want no part of it because he didn't have it living right. But one day he got it right. She wanted it. Like Sister Harris back there, watched Brother Harris when the Lord got a hold of him. And one day she said, I want what you got. Because she seen it was real. Amen. Right. When you see something's real, amen, you want to get a hold of it. Right. Now, fake stuff, no problem. Right. Just be salty, brother. And just pray for her and just believe. Right. Because, you know, somebody believed for you. Somebody prayed for you, so just keep praying for them. You brothers, you sisters, we'll get into some things about respect for husband and wife. Even if your wife or your husband something is an unbeliever, that don't give you a right to live like an unbeliever. That will not draw them to Christ. It's when you live for the Lord and do the best you can before them, they'll see the life. And that song about it, what is it? It's the life behind the name that makes the devil tremble. That's the main thing. Amen. Member services Wednesday. Pray one for another. Remember these brothers that will be coming. Brother Nestor, he speaks pretty good English, so we won't have much problem with him from the Philippines. He'll be here on the, I believe it's the 8th or 9th or something, or what that Sunday is. And then we'll have Brother Richard Wilson with us on the 11th of next month. So remember that. But just remember, especially this weekend, the ones that are traveling and all, and just keep in prayer, you know, because we'll be traveling. There'll be 3 or 4 vehicles going and all to go over and fellowship and have a good time in the Lord. You know, and all, and I say to you, and I will again, you know, greater and greater, I appreciate all of you that are doing the program and the things that were, you know, that's being done. I laughed. I was thinking the other day that Brother Homer probably asked me, you know, how everything went on getting a play, and I tell him, well, it caused 3 splits in the church and 4 divorces, but they've got the thing together, you know. It has been some heartaches and headaches. And cutting out and putting in to try to get it down to a 30-minute play to be able to do. And Joyce is the first words on the play. I think that's right. In your voice first? Rachel. No, Rachel's the first one. I know Joyce is on there, but Rachel's the first one that comes on because it's got a lot of background. And what we're going to do is try to get Brother Dick to tape it, you know, put it on video for us, and then... And we may try to do it for Christmas around here or something. There's a program, you know, to where they can see about the prodigal son. And I think the Lord will work it out real good, because that's a good place to put it, there before those kids. And they've already got over 150. Yeah, 150 kids already signed up to come. They're expecting to have only 70 or 80. Yeah, expecting 75. Only had about 60 last year. This time it's over and doing it. Thank God. If they can hear about Jesus Christ and be together and have Christian fellowship, because that's one thing about that one there that I appreciate. I appreciate the family atmosphere. I appreciate the rules and the regulations and everything there. I appreciate it. I don't like that. Amen. Just pray one for another. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us today, and we pray that what we said, we know we're just talking, Lord. We're just having a little family talk about respect and understanding, honor, reverence. But we're talking about our Father, the one who died for us, to let us have this time that we could be what we are. We thank you. Bless everybody on the way home, Lord. Take care of everybody. Give everybody a safe journey. And let your love be with each and every one. And guide us in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. There won't be any.